Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be looking at the man who lost his religion. The man who lost his religion. Let's turn together to the book of Acts, chapter 26. The book of Acts, chapter 26. And let's read together down from verse 1 through verse 18. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now let's also turn together, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1. And in Galatians chapter number 1, please look at verse 13 together with me. Paul writes to the Galatians here, and he says, For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. What we read in Acts chapter 26, we have the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa, where he presents his personal testimony of his salvation. The Apostle Paul, in essence, tells Agrippa that he had lost his religion. You know, some would say that what a tragic thing for any person to lose their religion, amen? Some would say lose your health, your wealth, and yourself, but don't lose your religion. Today we're going to look at this man, Paul the Apostle, who lost his religion. And the first thing I want to say is this. I say, instead of it being an awful and tragic thing to lose your religion, it's a blessing. Amen. And why do I contend this? Well, first of all, because Paul found something better than his religion. He found salvation. Amen. Salvation. Look with me in Philippians chapter 3, in verses 4 through 18. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here to the believers at Philippi. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul says, if there is any man out there to trust in their flesh, in other words, to be right with God by their works, it's me. And then he goes on and he lists us, he gives us his resume, his pedigree. He tells us, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. And, of course, the sign of circumcision was given to Abraham to be a sign between the Jews and God. So here he is, circumcised. Each male child of the Jews is to be circumcised the eighth day after birth, and that's exactly what Paul did. Of the tribe of Benjamin, amen, he identifies one of the 12 tribes that he was a member of, was Benjamin, from the tribe of Benjamin. And, of course, we know the first king of Israel, Saul, even though he was a bad king, an evil king, nevertheless, he was the first king of the nation of Israel. Saul came from the tribe of Benjamin. Then he goes on, a Hebrew of Hebrews, not just any ordinary Hebrew, but a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. First of all, he tells us that he was a Pharisee, very religious man, very well trained in the Mosaic law, amen. And then he says that he kept the law, basically. He was righteous. He was blameless when it came to the commandments of the law. But then he says, after giving us all of that, he tells us something very interesting, very shocking indeed to maybe a lot of people. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, all those things that I've mentioned beforehand, you know, I was a Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day, a Pharisee, I was righteous, and all this other stuff. He says, they didn't amount to a hill of beans, amen, meant nothing, amen. I counted them lost because I was without Christ. And he says in verse 8, yet doubtless, he says, I count all things but lost. What things? All those things that he had mentioned, they were useless. He counts them but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He count them, all those other things that he had, amen, in the flesh, that he had obtained in the flesh, he counted dung, amen, which is a nice way of saying manure, horse manure, cow manure, pig manure, pick your choice, but that's what dung is, manure. But he counted them loss. The only thing that counted was that he may win Christ, that he be saved, amen, that he may lead others to Christ, amen. So Paul had found something better. He had found salvation. Salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look also what he says in Titus. Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul says, his way of looking at things had changed. He wasn't looking at religion. to make him right with God. He's looking for something even better to appear, looking for the return of the blessed hope, amen, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, amen. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Man's without excuse. It says here right in the Word of God, the grace of God appeareth to all men. So somehow when man who hasn't heard the particulars of the gospel can see the grace of God displayed, amen, can experience himself the grace of God by God providing for his needs, amen. So we hear that, and also in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what true salvation will do, amen. If you're truly saved, you've been born above from the Spirit of God, you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and nothing else to save you from that sinner's hell that you deserve. As a result, amen, that salvation, that grace of God that appeareth all men, teaches you and I that we need to live a certain way in this world. Denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen and amen. Notice also in Hebrews chapter number 2 with me, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, Paul writes, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape, he calls it, if we neglect so great a salvation? Yes, it is a great salvation. Paul realized it, amen. He realized that, oh yes, he had lost his religion, but he found something better, salvation in the person, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he found something better, amen. Paul found salvation. Also, it was a blessing that he lost his religion because he found something he could not lose. He found something he could not lose, which is eternal life. My friends, there are many out there teaching today, and the only reason is they're not rightly dividing the word of truth, the word of God, the Bible. And when we say the Bible, we talk about God's word as found today, preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant, in the Authorized Version, 1611, King James Bible. But he found something he could not lose, eternal life. Let's first turn to probably one verse of Scripture that most of you listening today are familiar with, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now here it is, that whosoever, and you can put your name in there where it says whosoever, believeth in him, believeth in Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the Bible tells us clearly that God cannot lie. He's not a liar, amen? So people, instead of saying they trust God's word, and he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, challenge that, change that, don't believe that, amen? They got a problem. And I'll tell you, when anybody has a problem with the Word of God, it's a heart problem, amen. It's a heart problem, amen. Look with me also in John chapter 5, Gospel of John chapter 5, in verse number 24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Again, we have God's word that eternal life lasts. It's everlasting. It's eternal. That's what it means. You can't lose it. Amen. He that heareth my word. You have to hear the word, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to believe what you hear. You have to believe in your heart that Christ died. He died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You have to believe that you're a sinner. Christ died for you, amen, suffered the pain and agony of Calvary and the death and shedding of his precious blood to save you. But praise God, he's not a dead Savior. We're told that he arose the third day. He's a living risen Savior, amen. Praise God for that, hallelujah. One last place in the Gospel of John to show you that Paul found something he could not lose, his salvation. Not only did he find salvation, but he found that he could not lose his salvation, could not lose his eternal life. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Amen. "And I give unto them eternal life." Again, the life that he gives us is eternal. "And they shall never," underline never, the word never, "perish." Amen. You're not going to perish. You're not going to lose your salvation. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all." Hallelujah for that. "And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And then he says in verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Praise God for that. Jesus Christ is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. You know, I remember, and I'm sure you have them wherever you're listening today, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're out there. And unfortunately, they've ruined the door-to-door ministry, amen. But nevertheless, I remember I had one come to my door and knock on it and showed them that verse, "I and my Father are one." And of course, they have their own Bible, New World Translation. By the way, the New World's Translation, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, is based upon the same manuscripts of all the other New English, so-called better and newer English translation, be it the New International Version, American Standard Bible, you name it. They all came from the same corrupted source that the devil's manuscripts, I like to call them. But anyways, getting back to what I said to the Jehovah's Witness, I said, "See, Jesus and the Father, Jehovah God, are one and the same." They said, "Oh, that's not what it means." See, they have a heart problem. They want to twist around the Word of God. They have religion. Amen. Jehovah's Witnesses have religion. They don't have salvation. Amen. The Mormons have religion. They don't have salvation. Amen. The Roman Catholic Church, yes, the Roman Catholic Church. See, no one likes to bring them up. You know, they like to talk about the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists and so forth and so on, the Christian Scientists, the Church of Christ, but no, they don't want to touch the Roman Catholic Church. Well, I'm touching them. And they have religion, the Roman Catholic Church, and I can say it, I knew it better. I was a Roman Catholic for 36 years until I saw the glorious gospel light shine, amen, and the blindness came off, and glory, hallelujah, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I trusted him and no one else till this day, amen, to save my sinner's soul, amen. But, man, the Roman Catholic Church has religion, but they don't have salvation. They're a cult, just like the Mormons. I don't care if you don't like it, amen. It's the truth. They teach works for salvation plus everything else. In fact, they teach that Jesus Christ is mad at you. So you need to go through his mother, the mother of God, they call him, amen. The mother of God, Mary, to get to him, amen, because he's angry at you and I. That's not what I heard. I heard that you and I, my friends, we have peace. We have the peace of God and we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross at Calvary, and he shed his precious blood, amen. Amen to that. You should be shouting and hollering, for the blood of Jesus Christ saves all sin and all sinners, amen. Whew. Praise God for that. You know what? Let's look at something else. Paul lost his religion. He found salvation. He also found something he couldn't lose, eternal life. And he found a friend, Paul did, to go with him throughout his life. And that friend, my friend listening today, sticks closer to you than a brother, amen? A friend that loveth all times, amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews. Yes, I believe, maybe some of you disagree, and it's fine. It's not going to change anything, but I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why he said, let your conversation, let your manner of life, in other ways, the way you live, be without covetousness. You know, desiring material things, wealth, amen. And be content with such things you have. And the reason your life shouldn't consist of the abundance of things and coveting things and accumulating material wealth, and you should be content with the things you have, because you've got everything. You got everything. You are complete in Christ. And he says, Christ, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You have something better. Amen. Amen. Than all the wealth in this world. Than all the silver and gold. Than all the power and position. You have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ who not only saved you. He didn't just save you, but he stick by in you all the way from here on this life to the next. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise God, hallelujah for that. So, it wasn't an awful and tragic thing that Paul lost his religion. That's what happened to me, amen. Exactly, almost 17 years ago, I lost my religion. But like the Apostle Paul, I found something better. I found salvation. Amen. Salvation, knowing, having peace with God, having the peace of God, knowing when I die. As Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I know when I die that my sins have been forgiven. And how do I know that? Because I've trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He was my blood atonement. He went to Calvary. He was crucified. He was put in that tomb, and he rose the third day. Why? To save me, a wicked sinner, from going to the lake of fire. Amen. And like Paul, I found something better than my Roman Catholic religion. I found something better. I found salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. I found something that I could not lose, eternal life. And I found, like Paul did, a friend to go with me throughout this life, no matter what we'll go through. You know, maybe you're facing an operation, amen? Maybe you've been diagnosed with something very serious, and the doctors don't really give you much hope. You know, your family and friends have to wait outside the operating room. But my friend, listening today, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a friend that loveth at all times. He is right there with you. Amen. He's right there with you in that operating room. Whatever you're going through, you know, maybe you're in jail, or you know someone in jail. You know, but the Lord Jesus Christ is right there. My friend, Jesus Christ can go with you where no one else can go. And praise God, hallelujah for that, amen. Wherever you are today listening, amen, whatever you're going through, Jesus Christ, if you're not saved, he wants to go through it with you. He not only, the beautiful thing is, my friend, he not only wants to be your Savior. He not only wants to save you from your sin, but also he wants to be your friend. Amen. Maybe nobody loves you, but he does. And again, he's promised, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What a blessing. My friend today listening, maybe you have religion, and that's all you have. Religion is nothing but a routine, man's routine, that he goes through in his little pea brain thinking that makes him right with God. Christ, my friend, is a commitment. Amen. When you're saved, you want to do the things of God because you're saved, not because of some routine that you've been brought up with over the years. Amen. Paul the Apostle had lost his religion. Amen. But he found something better. He found salvation. He found something he couldn't lose, eternal life. And he found a friend to go with him through thick and thin. Amen. Our second point is, I believe that the scriptures tell us some tragic things about religion. First of all, religious people are not always saved. Religious people are not only saved. Let me give you an example, as time permits. We have a little bit of time left, but I can see that our study here is going to have to take us to another time on the pastor study. But let's look at religious people are not always saved. Look at Romans chapter 8 in verse 26. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We see a man here, a religious man, that the Holy Spirit has Philip leave a revival meeting in Samaria to the desert of Gaza. And it's the Ethiopian eunuch. And we read, and says, the angel of the Lord in verse 26 of Acts 8 spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went and beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So here we have obviously this black man from Ethiopia who had been a recent convert, a proselyte to Judaism, and he was coming back, had come from Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning in verse 28 and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the scriptures, and he read Isaiah the prophet. We're going to pick up here next time because we're quickly running out of time, and I don't want to go through this quickly. I want to spend some time with it. But we'll remember that religious people are not always saved, and we'll pick up at that point next time with a pastor study. This is Pastor Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor study today. Until we meet again on the pastor study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.